Exactly. I mean, we've all heard stories, but I wasn't around that situation, so I can't comment on how he did or didn't react to his son when he made a mistake. But I don't know if he was yelling at him to change his swing right in the middle of his backswing, which is what we see parents doing when their kids are out on the field. Yeah. Fair enough, and it does happen. All right. There's another issue too, and sometimes, we're going to depart from this area on the benefits because, and we're right after the break. But there also is something I think that that creates part of the problem, or certainly doesn't mitigate part of the problem, and that is these coaches have huge egos, and when they get a parent that has a vested interest in their child, it is a clash of titans. It is one ego after another, and the coach, most of these coaches haven't taken any psychology courses. They don't know how to handle these.
Oh, you mean like we as parents took psychology courses before?
Well, I mean, we're the ones. This is our child out there. I mean, right or wrong, you know, we're going to deal with our child the rest of our lives. And the decision we make is.
That's a scary thought.
Well, I mean, we're going to make the best decision we possibly can for our child. That's going to happen. And we don't always think, or at least a lot of people don't always think, that coach is necessarily making the same decision. In fact, sometimes the coach may be making the best decision for the team, which is not is in the best interest of your child. Well, guess what? We've got, according to the powers that be, we may have an out-of-control parent, right?
Well, I think a coach can make a decision that's best for the team and play those players that are most likely to lead to the team having the kind of success it's seeking, and at the same time suggest to the parents that they might want to find a situation that fits the child better, and that might be in the best interest of the child. I don't know that the two are necessarily mutually exclusive. And also, I would tell you that, yes, there are some coaches that have some pretty big egos. There are also some pretty darn good coaches. I bet most of those listening today can think of a coach who meant a lot to them. And in general, the 300 or so soccer coaches around town as a group versus the 15,000 soccer parents around, the coaches oftentimes do better, in terms of keeping their emotions in check and their egos in check than the parents do. Just as a group, and that's generalizing, I know.
So you will admit we do. Some coaches do have problems with egos.
Well, of course. They're human. We all have problems with egos.
Yeah. And my suggestion, I think when we start licensing coaches, and I know this is going to sound radical because some of the stuff that I always say sounds radical. I think when you get to, for instance, like a B or a C soccer license, I think you ought to have to go back and take a 3-hour psychology course in college.
Wow, that took at least 3, if not more, hours of psychology in college. I don't know that it prepared me to rear children. My kids would probably tell you that maybe 300 or 400 hours might have helped, but I don't know, James. I mean, it couldn't hurt, but I don't know how readily that would translate, because here's the thing. You can take 6 hours, take 12 hours, take 20 hours. When you get back out there, 16 kids on a team, 14 of them still want to win. And, so the coach is still going to coach to win because that's what the majority of the team is expecting him to do. They can say what they want, but for the most part, most parents are interested in the team having success. If that means a few players who are at the bottom of the talent curve for a particular team have to sit, then that's what it means. I mean, I hate to be that blunt, but that's actually what I think is going on out there.
Winning, 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 winning.
Right.
At this level.
I don't know that that's what should happen for youth sports, but, a lot of other people talk about development. Develop for what? Most of these kids are never going to be playing professional sports. So are they all just a talent pool? Are they crops to be raised? I don't think so. I mean, there's...
All right,
integrity
we're
going to
take a break, and after we come back, we're going to start getting into some examples of out-of-control parents, and I'll give you some I've seen.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA, 15091.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
And Wes Vines, and we're sitting in today for the time for Tommy Cryer. This is we're talking about runaway soccer parents. And we, in case you just tuned in, we before we went on break, I was trying to identify perhaps some of the motivation for some of the parents. I think. I think part of it is most parents do have a very sincere interest in trying to get their children to succeed. I think this interest they have does sometimes come in to conflict with the coaches. Some of these coaches have pretty serious, of course, that's my personal point of view, pretty serious egos, and parents then clash.
Caller from Texas, Mark.
And sometimes, sometimes when the parents clash with the coach, there are good reasons. The benefit of the child. There is money out there for these children, and I think in some cases, and I think it's far rarer than what I initially thought. I think some parents do try to vicariously live their sports days again through their children.
Well, you said you didn't play sports as a kid, so I guess you weren't reliving them.
No, in my case, I had to. I have to vicariously live
a life you didn't know.
I didn't have, because you're absolutely right. I played a little bit of hardball, played some tennis, but I certainly never played soccer. Let's go ahead and take a call from Adam. And Adam, hello? Adam, are you there? Wes, are you there?
Well, Wes is here.
All right.
Well, Adam couldn't be with us.
I guess he's gone.
All right. Okay, well, Wes, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to talk a little bit about you've seen some examples of what we're talking about as I own these out-of-control parents. And I actually have been on a soccer field before when I was very diplomatically trying to shift my daughter around, to what I thought was a more optimum, position on the field. And I actually had one parent come up to me one time and tell me he's going to put his umbrella up my, and you could figure out what the rest of that is, sideways. And that was that got pretty ugly. I got away from him, he was a lot bigger than I was. I wasn't going to get in a fight with him.
Well, it's the fights that get all the headlines, but I don't really think that's the main issue that kids experience. I think it is, again, the over-intrusion of parents into their child's sporting endeavors. Now, we've talked about some of those things, complaining about playing time, but as you just suggested, it is not unusual at all for parents in today's environment to say, Coach, my son or daughter is a forward. They don't play defense. Or they're a central midfielder. They're not a forward. Or something along those lines. Can you imagine? We have another caller?
Go ahead, Wes. Finish your thoughts. We'll pick up
well,
that in
I just can't imagine when I was growing up, my dad running down from the stands to say, Coach, my son isn't a wide receiver. He's a halfback. It just wouldn't have been tolerated then. But now, it's fairly commonplace.
And
you have competitive teams. A lot of people don't realize this. They basically sign contracts for a year. And at the end of the year, the kids all become free agents. Sounds pretty professional, doesn't it? They become free agents, and they all go try out for teams again. So that means that kids that have been on your team for a year can get cut. And as that time of the year comes up, it is not that unusual for parents to make suggestions, sometimes privately and sometimes openly, about who those cuts ought to be and where they ought to go to find the players for next year. If your son or daughter is a forward and someone says, we just can't seem to score, so let's get us some new forwards, when that means that the existing forwards have to go, that's not always the most helpful things, but there are lots of parents in today's world who don't seem to mind giving their opinions when it comes to that kind of thing.
And for people that don't know, the forwards are the folks that are at the very front of your offensive formation. They are the ones that should be scoring goals with the assistance of the midfielders who play more in the middle of the field, and then you have the defensive backs, and they play at the back.
That's one difference between club sports and high school sports. Obviously, in high school sports, your talent pool consists of the people who happen to go to your school. But in club soccer, you can recruit from all over your territory. And here in our area, you can have players from all over North Texas playing on a team here in Dallas.
Let's take a call for Mark. Go ahead. Who do we have?
Hello?
Yes. This is James Lynn.
This is Dan from Texas.
I'm sorry?
Dan from Texas?
Go ahead.
I want to take exception to about most of everything you brilliant lawyers have said. I bet y'all are the best lawyers in the world, but y'all have missed a couple of points. I want to tell a story. It's confrontational, I know, so cut me off if I go too far over y'all's line. My son played in the Oak Hill Baseball League in Austin, Texas. He played for a coach named Edgars. He wasn't the best catcher, but he was the second string catcher, and everybody got guaranteed two innings a game. You pay the same amount of money, so you get two innings a game. After my wife came home from the third baseball game, she says, they won't let our kid play because they want to win the game so bad. So the fourth game, I went up there and was standing behind her, and she said, "Coach, how come he doesn't get to play?" And he said, "When the game is close, we keep the first squad in. Everybody else gets to play. When we're already losing." And she said, "I don't agree with that. I paid my money." And he said, "Well, then you can just shut up and not come to the games." Well, he didn't know that this ex-Green Beret was standing behind her. Let's skip that part because it wasn't pretty. So we go see the Oak Hill baseball commissioner in Austin, Texas, and he says, "This guy owns a restaurant and pays money."
Wait,
are, to have
were you
fine.
The ex-Green Beret?
I'm an ex-Green Beret.
I just need to know that in case I said something that you didn't agree with.
No, you don't worry about me. I'm a nice guy. Anyway, so we go see the Oak Hill baseball commissioner, and he says, "This guy owns a Mexican restaurant in Oak Hill, and this Edgar's guy, and he pays for signs, so we really don't like to confront him." So I say, and my wife was standing there, "Well, why don't we just all talk about this?" He says, "Tuesday afternoon at 6:30 at the baseball field." So I show up in my RX-7 at 6:30 on the baseball field, and him and his two assistant coaches, one a retired Air Force person, I understand, and they all come and put their feet on my bumper of my $40,000 car, and not knowing I'm in it or not knowing who it belongs to. And one of them says, "Next time I try to tuck his shirt tail in and he hits my hand, I'm going to slap his face off." Now we see the ex-Green Beret. So I chase him around the parking lot for about 30 minutes, but I can't catch these three grown men because they can run faster than I can in three directions. Now, here's my point. It ain't about winning. It's about teaching kids to play sports, and you guys, great lawyers, you're missing the point as coaches. Coaches teach people to succeed, and they should let everybody play. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Well, Wes?
Well, you know, I think he obviously was in a league that guaranteed everybody two innings, and if they weren't living up to that, I think as far as that goes, he had a very valid complaint. Whether he chose the right method for addressing that complaint, I guess we probably would have to know a little more. But obviously, it's not just parents who are out of control. It sounds like in his case, at least if what he said actually happened the way he described it to us, that there was some out-of-control behavior on the other side. You know, I'm not saying that it's only parents. But, you know, I don't know that what he's saying in terms of everybody should get a chance to play necessarily goes in every league. That's certainly not the way it goes in the Boys Classic League here in Dallas nor in the Girls Classic League.
Because everybody doesn't always get to play.
And but something that every parent knows going into it.
But if, in fact, he was, the rule was, and it almost sounds like this is a high school, isn't that what it sounds like? It's some type
of high
school
program. No, I think he said it was Oak Hill Baseball League. I have a sense that it's, you know, a local, non-school associated playing league. And, you know, but it's one in which everybody had a certain level of playing time. Well, you know, James, we were talking about signs of out-of-control parents.
And let me offer one suggestion here. When somebody does find themselves in a situation like this, and I do understand that emotions do get very high, but this, I think, as the caller well aware, is one of these situations where emotions can get the best of you, and when you begin touching other people, you end up committing what's called a battery. And at least here in Texas, something like that is both actionable, civil, and criminal. So, folks, you know, take a deep breath. I know sometimes, you know, the pain you go through, but take a deep breath and walk away, because I think your children, you know, are also watching what's going on, and that is the better lesson, is learning how to break away from some type of very, very high-strung situation you find yourself in. Walk away.
Thank you, James. It's always good to know that my good friend James is not afraid to take a controversial opinion. You know, he's come out against assault and battery. What do you know?
We'll be back as soon as we get right after the break.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn easily, heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Okay, here we are on a Sunday afternoon. Wes Vines and I, James Lynn, are coming to you not out of Round Rock, but actually out of Dallas, Texas, and we're filling in for Tommy Crier today. A little different subject, out-of-control parents. We just had a caller that Dan called in, had a comment. We had a comment, and Dan wanted to respond to our comments, so we're going to give Dan the last word. Dan, are you
here? If I'm still on, I'm here, and I'm not being confrontational at all, I hope.
No, I'm going to be like Bill O'Reilly.
You're going to get the last word. Y'all went right back into the mode y'all do for a living that you're good at. Y'all started talking like lawyers. y'all abandoned talking like coaches. You see, in Oak Hill baseball, and it's not public school, it's you sign up for the league, you pay your money. But when you pay your money, there's a rule, and that is, each child plays two innings a game, winning, losing, close, whatever. Now, you talk about out-of-control parents. I said, three games in a row, my wife didn't see my son play because it was close, and they needed to keep the first eight guys in and let the other 11 sit on the bench. So on the fourth game, she confronted him. She said, I want to know why my child's not playing. And the coach is the one that said, shut the F word up. But this time he said it in front of me. That's a non-conditional threat. Let's go into that if you want to talk law. But that's a non-conditional threat. That's extracting an experience or a reaction out of a person at the threat of being intimidated.
Why didn't at that?
It didn't work on me.
All right, but at that point in time, instead of, and again, you may take it that I'm sounding like an attorney, but at that point in time, instead of then having a meeting in a parking lot, wouldn't it have been more appropriate then if you, when you find yourself in a situation like that, is okay, this guy is regulated by somebody somewhere, he's got a supervisor or something, I'm not going to get into some type of a physical confrontation with him, this, it's not going to get me anywhere, it's time to actually make a complaint. And this is the type of board that Wes sits on for North Texas, which we're hoping to get into in a few minutes, but my suggestion, and you may take it, well, it's legalese, is don't let it get to that, because nobody ends up winning if, in fact, the coach has made some type of a statement like that, totally inappropriate. Hey, let's do the smart thing. Let's just, let's just report him.
Okay, can I talk?
Sure.
First off, if you attempt to intimidate my wife in front of me under the Texas Penal Code, I have the right to defend a third party. But let's move on quickly. We went there directly, as I said earlier, to the commissioner of the Oak Hill Baseball League, whose first response was, this guy owns a restaurant, his name's Edgar, and he puts up signs on our baseball field and helps support this league, so we really don't want to get messy with one of our coaches. Well, let's move on, because then he said, we'll all meet at 6:30 on Tuesday, the next Tuesday. This was on a Friday. When I show up, all three of them are there still talking about if we push the shirt tail down this boy's pants with our hands and he slaps our hand away, then I'm going to hit him in the face. That didn't go over well either. It's not mostly the parents. Sometimes the coaches are so intent on winning and getting that little trophy that they forget other people paid to be there too. Thank you for your time, and if he's got a complaint with me in district court, he can bring it, because I think I got a better one. Thank you for your time.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mark. Okay,
well, that was Dan, but thank you, Dan.
All right, let's pretend something like this would have happened in a soccer game, or kid sitting on the bench. We've got, some words back and forth. In North Texas, when something like that happens, instead of the parent then going out of control, what do you suggest? I mean, what are the remedies we have here in North Texas?
Well, the first thing that our board would try and do is, wait on a complaint from someone like you suggested. If, in fact, a coach were to utter that kind of language out there, and a parent or really anyone who happened to overhear it would write a written complaint, that coach would be brought in for a hearing. And at that hearing, we would address the complaint, and both sides would have a chance to tell their side of it. And if we believe that the coach had, in fact, said that kind of thing out there on the soccer field, that coach can look forward to missing a few soccer games. One of the problems is that, our league volunteers aren't enough in number to cover every game. There are about 20, 25 volunteers who run a soccer league that has 3,800 players. We just can't be everywhere. So we need for parents to report this kind of misbehavior, or referees or coaches.
Isn't it fair to say you may have somebody that has or is going to use this type of language? They may get by with it, the first complaint. They may be able to, I hate to use quite word it this way, but lie themselves out of it. But would you say it's true that after a while, if you get two or three or four of these, pretty soon the board is going to start really scratching their head how credible this guy is?
Absolutely. That's why we like for people to come forward, so that we can start building kind of a case file, if you will.
All right, we're going to pick this up right after the break. Stay tuned. More on Out of Control Soccer Parents. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Hello, everybody. This is Jimmy Vaughn, and I want to invite all who love liberty to come out Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. and support the only man for president, Ron Paul. This will be his first fundraiser in Austin, so be there or be square. I'll be there playing my guitar along with some other special guests, and we want everybody to come out and have a good time.
The Ron Paul for President Rally and Fundraiser will be at the Texas History Museum in Austin, Texas, at Congress and MLK on Saturday, May 19th from 6:30 till 10 p.m. For ticket or donation info, call 512-250-8649. Again, that's 512-250-8649.
Filling in for Tommy Crier today. We're coming to you out of Dallas, Texas, and our conversation today is out-of-control soccer parents. Now, Wes, I was listening to the commercial. Jimmy Vaughn, is that Stevie Ray Vaughn's brother?
It is.
It is, okay, and he's down there in Austin.
They were both from Dallas originally, James.
Well, sometimes I'm behind on some things, so that doesn't surprise me, but I did think that was his brother. Does he live in Dallas or does he live in Austin?
James, I don't know. I don't keep his appointment book.
All right. Very good. Okay, when we left, I believe we were talking about trying to build up a book, not an appointment book, but trying to build up a book of complaints when, in fact, you do have a coach or a parent or someone out there in sports, and this isn't just in soccer, but there is a fairly nice system that is in soccer, at least in North Texas, for handling these type of complaints, and that is the one of the committees that Wes Vines sits on. Now, my recollection was my daughter quit playing in select soccer last year. She graduated and she now plays college. But my recollection, Wes, is that last year the referees actually started red carding. And let me explain. A red card is an infraction. that a player and parents do get red carded too. But it is a pretty serious infraction in soccer where you're actually thrown out of the game. And am I correct in my recollection? Is this what's going on? Is that players now, when they use certain words, they are red carded and thrown out of the game just like a parent could be?
Well, if a player uses language which is foul, offensive, or abusive, in the opinion of the referee, then yes, they can be shown a red card and exited the game. Technically, parents are not under the direct jurisdiction of referees, and they are not. They can be tossed out, but they're not technically shown a red card. In fact, at least in our league, and following the directions of the United States Soccer Federation, they prefer that referees not address the spectators directly. They prefer that the referee go over to the coach and ask the coach to deal with the problem. And if they can't, the referee can abandon the game. And some referees are good at calming the crowd down, and some are not. So that's why we actually try to have our referees work through the coach. And if they can't bring some amount of calm and decorum to the situation, then they can just walk off, and there might be a forfeit and fines.
All right. Well, now, you said abandon the game. Does that mean in a situation like this, normally is the team that has the parent that is associated with it, or do they lose the game? Is the game replayed? What generally happens?
If the league can determine that the reason the game was abandoned is predominantly the fault of one team, then that team will almost certainly forfeit the game. And that can have dire consequences. That could cause a team to fall out of a first division into a second division, or lose some championship, or not qualify for some tournament. So it's a fairly drastic remedy. And thankfully, we may have several thousand games in a year's time, and maybe only one or two reach that kind of a level.
Only one or two games reach that level because only one or two games are reported to you guys, or it only happens one or two times. I think that the farmer seems to be a little bit naive.
We only have one or two times when the referees, in a year's time, where the referees get to a point where they will not continue with the match. Now, how many times do they, even though they're not supposed to, turn around and send the spectator away or ask the coach to, and the spectator sent off? Well, we have probably two or three of those that happen every weekend where somebody is sent to time out. But I'm talking about where it gets to the point where the referee doesn't believe that the match can continue peacefully. That's only once or twice in a season.
Well, and what we're really talking about here is due to a parent, a spectator's some reaction or action that they had that causes a game to stop like this, the referee calling the game. Is that what we're saying?
That's what we're talking about.
All right. And generally, what is it? I mean, is it foul language? Is it running? Is it streaking across, the soccer field during halftime?
It's basically when the tenor of the remarks starts to intimate that violence may soon be following on. I mean, look, sometimes we'll send out a field marshal out there who's new to it, and they're going to hear the referee being picked on by the parents, and, we'll get a call over the radio to please, double-tail it up there to the game. And when we get up there, we realize that this is just the normal kind of thing that happens at every game. Referees are out there. They know they're going to hear somebody challenging their calls. But there are times when I think all of us can recognize, just if we're out, in a nightclub or somewhere, when things are spinning quickly out of control and fixing to come to blows, that when you hear those kind of things, a parent is sent off. Or when someone is directly challenging the referee in such a way that they're trying to engage the referee's attention such that he can't really pay attention to the game, and sometimes that's where a referee is going to send a parent off.
Now, to me, it looks like, or at least it's been my experience, that I think the league, you're going to love this, but I think the league babies these referees a little bit. Now, for whatever reason, and it well could be that as opposed to a baseball or a football game where the crowd or the spectators, the audience, they're up in the stands some distance away from the referee, that remarks said in a football or a baseball game like that, there would be hardly any grounds for throwing a parent, a spectator, out. Whereas in soccer, I don't understand why these referees seem to be so thin-skinned.
Well, I don't think the league babies referees at all. I mean, every year we disinvite a number of referees to come back based on their performance. The message that we give to parents is that if you're dissatisfied with a referee's performance, then have your coach or your manager put that in factual terms for us, send that in, and we will deal with that referee. It may be that we will find that complaint wanting, that it's just sour grapes, or it may be that we'll find that there is a very legitimate complaint, and we will build a file on referees just the same way we can build a file on a coach.
Yes, but that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is if I'd be at a baseball game, I might yell at the umpire, the home plate umpire, you know, you're blind, you can't see. I mean, it was out of the strike zone by a mile. When was the last time you got your prescription for your glasses filled? That's too long.
Well, I think that you will see, even in baseball and other sports, a referee turn around and address someone in the crowd. Well, obviously, soccer has the fact that the parents are not separated by any barriers from the assistant linesman who's running up and down, usually just within inches of them. So there is that immediacy that makes soccer perhaps a little unique. But, you know, if you were to say from the bleachers behind home plate, you know, ump, one more call like that, and I'm going to meet you out in the parking lot, I think you'd find that the umpire would hear you, and he'd do something about it.
Well, obviously, meeting an umpire in the parking lot is one thing, but merely making references to their lack of vision, I think is something completely different.
I agree with you, but that happens at every game, and very little happens about it. I mean, at every soccer game, someone says, ref, you know, call it both ways, or you missed that one, or something like that, and those comments are largely ignored, I think.
Okay. All right. What about some, you've done this for a while, what about some specific examples, then, of some things that you've actually seen come through on your committee? Are these things that can be shared? Is it, or do y'all basically keep this in a what we refer to as a star chamber?
Well, I don't know that I
you're not going to claim
a star chamber. No, I'm not going to name names. You know, people always say that we ought to publish a list of what we've done, or they complain that nothing has happened when, in fact, some very severe sanctions have been handed out because we don't choose to publish it. But it's for the same reason that when things happen at work, your boss doesn't put a note on the Internet saying that, James just messed up and here's what we've done about it. It's not usually all that productive. You know, what's important is that we address the situations that come to us in a professional and grown-up manner, and I think we do that. So I'm satisfied that there's no need to, you know, post a hall of shame so that we can gain compliance. No scarlet letters are necessary.
Well, I don't know that I agree with you. I mean,
you would have been the poster child.
I may have been, but at least, you know, when you begin to post stuff like that, you have a tendency to be a little bit more consistent.
Well, I think when we dismiss a parent for a year, which we've done before, everybody on their team is certainly aware of it, so we get at least that kind of general deterrent. And it's a fairly small soccer community, so that's noticed. And so, you know, I think the word gets out there in a kind of a sub rosa fashion. But no, I don't think it would benefit us that much to publicly make a point of folks. I mean, the examples largely are just someone boiling over and having a bad day. You know, occasionally we've had a few parents that, you know, got into a dust-up where they were bumping chests. I told you earlier about the two moms that were going after each other with lawn chairs. We had a situation last year where two coaches, both of whom, by the way, were professional soccer players in the English Premier League, who happen now to be coaches in our league, had some words with one another, and then one coach walked over the other and took his cap off and headbutted him. And when the guy looked up, he threw a roundhouse at him. So that gentleman was disinvited to coach in our league, and he had a number of teams for about a year's time. We do these things. Many of these games are played with policemen who are off duty being paid to be there, and we have occasionally had parents arrested for bad behavior, and hopefully it doesn't get to that, but it does happen.
One of the things that I saw as a spectator for a number of years that really, really concerned me, and I don't think it belongs in this sport. I think it is something that out of control. There are some out of control abusive parents that do, and I just don't understand it. And it's just a huge lawsuit waiting to happen. But it is when little Johnny or little Susie gets bumped. They fall down. The parent views that, oh, cheap blow. Soccer, there are parts of soccer that are physical. But I actually have heard parents say, either face-to-face to their child player or yelling on the field, you know, you need to get even. You need to go hurt that person. You know, don't take that. Now, Wes, to me, there is a fine line between playing physical and playing dirty or having a parent instruct a child to actually go out and hurt somebody.
As a matter of fact, James, I don't think we have hardly anybody listening today who wouldn't immediately recognize that that's the wrong thing for a parent to say. What they don't always see is that when that parent says something like that, how badly it stirs up the other parents. In soccer, typically, the teams and coaches are on one side of the field, and all the parents are intermingled on the other side. So if I say, hey, you need to take so-and-so out, so-and-so's parents may be standing right next to me. And a number of altercations have started in just that way. You know, all of this brings to mind one thing, James. Have you ever thought, why do we put our kids through all this? Do you really think that sports builds character? Do they get as much out of sports as we imagine that they do? What do you think?
I think there are a lot of benefits. Earlier I talked about the scholarships. I think one huge big thing, and I think this is so important for parents that have girls, it keeps the girls away from the boys a lot longer in their life until they're able to mature. These girls have some other focus other than chasing some boy or being chased. Yes, there are girls out there that, you know, are still going to be boy crazy. But it ends up providing something that they're working for, that they achieve various degrees of success that they're happy with. I think it is a deterrent against becoming too seriously involved in a boy because they're concerned that if they do something and end up pregnant, their days of doing something they love, playing soccer, may come crashing down very quickly. I'll be honest with you, in the 8 years or so that I went through what I call, referred to as little girl soccer, I'm not sure I remember any girl that was playing soccer that got pregnant. Now, in today's time, you know, you really got to scratch your head and think, wow, is this some type of a formula perhaps that really works? Providing something to, in this case, young girls, that keeps them away from partying, because trust me, if you've got to get up and play on a Saturday, and a lot of the games are on Saturdays or Sundays, and your team is depending on you to play well, you can't stay up till, you know, 1-2 o'clock at night drinking. Now, I'm not going to say that never happened, you know, with a couple of girls that were on Lauren's team. However, the girls their teammates knew it. Those girls generally played very bad. They got pulled from the game very quickly because their poor performance was very evident, and it was like getting paddled a little bit, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but
James, the question that interests me is, is there something about sports that is imbuing values that is preventing these kinds of things from happening?
Yes.
Or is it just that they're so darn busy that they don't have the time? I mean, you could lock them up in a dungeon and keep them from doing all these things. And obviously, if they have to get up at 7 a.m. to be out there and they're practicing 3-4 times a week and have games several nights a week, they just flat don't have time to get in trouble. But
well,
my question
what?
Is sport teaching them something that's building their character?
Well, you know, Wes, I guess perhaps you're asking a philosophical question, but I think even taking the shallow, superficial, you know, answer to that is that they're so busy they don't have time to get into trouble. I think it's a good answer. I mean, what is the matter with that? I mean,
nothing, but it doesn't mean
to me, it's a good answer.
Make sports unique if there's nothing about being on a team that adds to it. I mean, we've always heard, haven't we, that sports teaches character?
Well,
we got to pick that up.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering. World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back. This is James Lynn, Wes Vines. We're coming to you from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're actually in Dallas, and we've got about 3.5 minutes. And right before the break, Wes was asking me some philosophical questions about whether it builds character. And I guess, What are you, Wes, trying to put a hook in here, coming up with some redeeming value like the Jerry Springer did at the end?
Actually, James, you know, there have been some studies that say that sports may build social character. You know, it might teach about teamwork and sacrifice and perseverance. And these studies indicate that, you know, it kind of goes back to our corporate culture. But athletes score significantly lower than non-athletes on the moral character indexes.
Well, I will tell you, since we are, we've got about 3 minutes left. I'll take the first minute or so, and then I'll just let you close up. But if we're going to get off the subject a little bit, and what is it that sports have done, at least from my point of view, what soccer did for us is I think it gave my daughter the opportunity to learn that if you work hard, and sometimes it is very, very hard work, you succeed. There's a relationship. Work hard, succeed. Don't work hard, you don't do well. And it's that way in school, too. It's the person that studies the most that ends, as a general rule, ends up making the best grades. It's the person who gets out there and does the working out, the extra skills. They're also the ones that succeed. So relationship, work hard, succeed. Also, there are choices in life that you've got to make. That is, if you want to go drinking at night and stay out till 2 in the morning, then get prepared to be benched, and you may not be in the starting lineup next time. So these are life choices. You have to learn when you make these choices, there are consequences to them. And, step up to the plate and be a big boy or big girl. Go ahead, Wes, you got the last word.
You know, I never forget my son playing recreational soccer, and he was about 7 years old. When one of the parents uttered that famous phrase, "Hey, it's not whether you win or you lose, it's how you play the game." And I remember saying to the rest of the parents, I was almost to myself, but I said it out loud, "Well, when do we tell them that that's a lie?" Because I recognize that while we often say that, and maybe we feel good about it when we say it, that we often really want to win. Now, look, we've been talking today about out-of-control soccer parents, and, you know, that's obviously a lot of good grist for the mill. But I love the sport of soccer. I get a great deal out of my volunteer hours. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. My kids both played club sports for 8 years. I'm confident that they got a lot out of it. And with a few things to the side, I wouldn't change much about that experience. But I think it's tremendously important that we stop ourselves and ask, is this really about my child? When the emotions are stirring to the top and inciting a riot or a near riot, are these the emotions of my child that I am fearful of, or are these my own emotions? Is this about me? Is this about my own sense of succeeding in life? Do I have unresolved issues from my days as an athlete that I'm trying to work out here using my child as the basis for my, you know, entree into the discussion? Do I see my child realistically? Do I have little Mia Hamm standing there in front of me? Is that Pele standing there in front of me? Or is this a child that might grow up to be a great chemist or a great musician or any number of things and go in a direction completely away from sports? And am I willing to brook that? Do I see my child realistically? And, you know, I think you have to ask yourself, if we can't say it's making our child stronger, then I think we've got to question ourselves. Well, I think that's it for the James Lynn and Wes Vine show for today. Tune in next week.
A message for